torture you.
Yes, and you torture people with your... I'm only kidding, Phil.
That's right. Yes, Phil Henry's the man. We're just the voices.
We are the voices behind the man. We're the voices that come out of the man.
Well,
I guess that didn't sound right, but what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to play ball here, Phil.
Thank you very much, Margaret, for playing ball.
Because, you know, it is humiliating to...
We can't go through this again because I'm afraid I'm gonna do something bad.
And what would... Don't you dare...
No, I'm afraid I'm gonna take my pants off.
What does that mean?
Getting tired of hearing her talk about the humiliation of being a voice. You have a wonderful life.
Yeah, all right, tell me all about it.
Why don't we just get off that kick? Welcome, folks, to the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. And this is our... What's up with the audio here, bud?
What?
I don't know. Things sound kind of hollow, man. What do you mean hollow? We are the hollow men.
Yeah, that's that poem by
It's not the hollow men poem. I'm talking about the way it sounds.
Well, maybe you got your headphones turned up too loud.
Maybe something like that. Anyway, welcome to our program, the Phil Henry Show here for... today's Thursday. I got to go to the doctor's today.
All right, now what is wrong with you?
Tony, you got some... it's just a regular checkup. I'm going to the doctor, and then tomorrow night at the Hollywood Improv in the lab, we are going to be on stage for another rendition of Phil Henry and Friends. I hope you guys can be there for that one. We have an exciting group of guys that's going to be with us. Andy Hendrickson, Matt Kirshen, Zainab Johnson, Andrew Slater, all with me there at the Hollywood Improv Lab tomorrow night. Starts at 8 o'clock, and that's at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose.
Now, did you know that they've got a new club up in the Oxnard, up at the 805 area?
I did, yeah.
How'd you know that?
How did I know that? I was driving up the freeway and I saw the big... There's a very large sign. It's a beautiful... It's got the big... You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's got a big... The gigantic heads and everything.
What do you mean gigantic heads? You're talking about the big digital...
Yeah, that's it. There's a digital... I think I saw that too. There's a big digital sign there and it shows the different comics and the various comedians and so forth.
Right. Yeah, it's up there in the mall off the freeway right near... Johnson Drive, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, now that, it says Levity Live, but I think it's the same...
It's an improv. It's Levity Live. It's part of the same company. So, yeah, they're everywhere, man.
Well, that's where you want to go, because they're close by.
Well, yeah, I mean, let me just do what I'm doing, okay? Everybody trying to get me...
All right, I'm just telling you, Phil, you've got to get aggressive. You got to move, baby. Well, yeah, got to move, baby. Okay, don't get all, Hollywood on me.
Well, you're the one that said baby.
I understand what you guys are saying. I like what's happening right now at the Improv in Hollywood. And well, whatever, man.
What are you reluctant for?
Gotta get aggressive, Phil.
I'll get aggressive when I get aggressive. Right now, I'm trying to get out of this week, man. It's been insane. Like I told you, we had we had a great meeting today, though, with some people that are going to come on board. You know, Joe Olander is now...
Yeah, Joe Olander, he's our administrator.
Joe is our administrator on our website, and we talked to some other guys, had a meeting in Venice, and I'm not trying to be all Hollywood or anything, but, we had a meeting in Venice, and I had a latte, and...
Yeah, uh-huh.
And, so...
And how, I hear the traffic was horrific.
Yeah, the traffic's lousy going up Pacific Coast Highway because, well...
Because it's L.A., because there's a lot of cars. Jesus.
Yeah, so what are you talking about?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's because there's a lot of cars, but it was particularly bad today.
Because it's L.A. and there's a lot of cars.
Yeah, okay. All right, so maybe it wasn't worse today than it usually is. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about Heavener Elcott. And we have Gloria Grover coming on. Gloria Grover, as you know, is a priesterly.
Now, but hold on for just a minute, if you don't mind.
Can I get out the promo?
Go ahead.
Gloria Grover is a member of this Elcott, the Next Step religion. And she is a priesterly.
Now, what is that, a priesterly?
You can ask her, man. It's like a level of...
It is one of the ranks. It's one of the levels in the Elcott religion. And by the way, can I mention something before it slips my mind?
Go ahead.
Yesterday, we were talking about Barbara Streisand
Talk about Seth MacFarlane.
That's it. Seth MacFarlane. I didn't want to leave the impression that I thought that Barbara was doing anything I think Barbara is a wonderful woman. I think it was Doug Danger who said that she might be interested in Seth MacFarlane. I don't think any such thing. I believe I was talking to Frank about it. He thinks that Seth MacFarlane is a good man. He's a very, very funny man. He's a great producer, got a great, great voice, but he might be weaseling. And what Frank meant by the weasel was that he may be trying to cartoon or weasel cartoon Barbara Streisand, you understand? What are you looking at?
What do you mean, weasel cartoon?
I think, in Frank's opinion, I agree, that he's trying to weasel in to somehow buffoon her or cartoon her. You see?
No, I don't see.
What do you mean you don't see?
What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is he might be trying to goof her.
Goof her? Are you saying to me that
Yes, Phil, hold on. Yes, I'm saying that to you.
That he's trying to make her look like an ass.
No, he's not trying to do that. But I think he wants to weasel in and try to get her to do cartoon voices or something.
And Frank came up with that all on his own.
How dare... Now you're saying my husband's a moron.
Yeah, a little bit. Let me tell you this.
You just called Frank Gray a moron. You realize what that means?
Look at Margaret.
Hey, calm down. Margaret, no, there's no sense in giving threats out of here.
I'm not threatening, but you understand that when you call Frank Gray a clown, and that's what you're doing, General.
Hey, wait just a minute now. Now, no one clowns me and no one weasels me. This guy is saying that that Seth MacFarlane is trying to weasel him. I don't even know what the hell you said, Doc.
I'm saying that there is a bit of a buffooning going on.
No, there is not a buffooning. It sounds to me like the guy has a legitimate interest in singing with her. He's got a great voice. But Frank is talking about...
He's trying to get her to... He's trying to clown her in. And...
Will you speak English for Christ almighty?
He wants her to do some goof voice. He wants her to do some voices on the cartoon. And...
But you call that clowning in? Let's see. Wants her to do a cartoon.
What?
What Bud said, I agree with, okay? You're gonna have to figure that one out.
Yeah.
All right, so you're saying, in other words, Bud, what?
I'm saying, why does he just ask me? I'd like you to do a cartoon voice.
How do you approach Barbara Streisand and say, oh, hi, Barbara, it's great to meet you, I'm a big admirer. Will you do a cartoon voice for me? One of the most formidable singers, one of the greatest singers in this generation or any other. I was gonna say multiple generations, you know?
Margaret, you know, when you get on your high horse and you start talking all this horse dung...
Excuse me, General, I'm not done.
Wait. When you get on...
I'm not done. Now, Seth MacFarlane weaseled and bum-rushed his way into her life, in my opinion, to so manipulate her as to get her into the studio to do a voice so she sounds like a chump.
Well, you're pissed off.
Yes, I am.
Margaret, you could be pissed at yourself. Oh, General, get one to stow it.
Oh, no, he's right. Be pissed at yourself for the goofiest, dumbest thing that I've ever heard.
Frank came up with it.
Well, maybe we can talk to him later.
I doubt it.
Maybe we won't talk to him later.
Right there.
This is the Phil Henry Show. Let's go
Phil
over now to...
Phil Traffic.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Bob Bacon, Bob.
Phil, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to talk about a clown voice. I'm up there on the 15th freeway right now. We're moving along. CHP is going to have to climb out there and crawl all over top of this because they've got a guy crawling on top of the cars to get up there. Moving here up the downtown south side sound and trying to get the Puget Sound over here. And I'm going to let the Bradford freeway. We're going to turn to the Sky Boy out there on the west side.
Hi, Mom. I got the name thing here. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
I was the Nellie County Sheriff. He got strapped on and strapped it on, put a pin block in, and put something up the rear end. And got the butt plug up on there. Then his name was the Sky Baby. Mom, boy, Sky Baby, swing tail. He went down.
Moose Mullins here for the Moose Mullins Way. See these burgers? They're made out of choice beef. Only 7% fat. You can eat them, you can wear them, you can put them in your armpits. They'll do everything. Yes, it's an underarm deodorant, as well as a wonderful hat. And now the Moose Mullin burger is something you can eat. When I discovered this kind of meat, and I wasn't really sure where it came from other than the fact that I found it in the middle of the road, I realized that it was something you could put on your face as a kind of a beauty aid, something you could shape into a hat, and maybe even wear as pants. But I never once in my entire life thought it was anything you'd eat. Anything you'd want to eat until I tried it. I made it into a burger, fried it up, put some onions with it, poured a whole bunch of ketchup over top of it, put some soy sauce on it, some Tabasco sauce, basically buried it in all kinds of other flavors, and I was able to get it down. I got one down in 6 months, and then I was in the hospital for another 6. But let me tell you this, right now, it's better than recycling your blood. That's right, it's better than going to one of those blood recycling centers. I really started... Moose Mullins Burgers. Get them now at your neighborhood Gitmo store. And at Hopscotch Emporium. The Moose Mullin Burger. You tell them that Moose didn't send you. I wouldn't send you to get my mail.
At Sweet Farm, your loved ones are taken care of as if they're members of our own family. Yes, members of our own family who've gone mad. But at Sweet Farm, we have wonderful units, areas that we can put them in that have a beautiful smell being pumped through, and we have the walls painted like flowers and trees and little insects flying around. You're actually in a 6x6 cell, but for someone whose mind has finally gone adrift, it's a wonderful, wonderful way to spend your days.
Come to Sweet Farm and see our beautiful retirement homes. Talk to Melissa or Sister Wen. Yes, at Sweet Farm, the dream can become a reality.
The dream of living at Sweet Farm and imagining yourself being a member of God's holy host with wings, a harp, roller skates, and somewhere to go every day.
Sweet Farm, like living in a nut house, a psychiatric facility, and jail all at once.
Sweet Farm. I'm Melissa Hansandon. I'm Melissa Hounsandon. I'm Melissa. I'm trying out new last names.
Sweet Farm. You'll love it.
World famous Bill Henry Show, El Pacifico in Southern California. Yeah.
Jesus.
Hebner Elcott was the founder of the religion Elcott, The Next Step. And on the line with us from Culver City, California, is Gloria Grover. Gloria is a priesterly and is on to talk with us about some new letters, some new writings that have come to light about the dark side of Hebner Elcott.
Can I ask a question? And I'm sorry, Gloria, to butt in here. But I had a question I wanted to ask.
I don't think Phil has done his pitch.
Hey, by the way, do you do those Sweet Farm commercials?
If I do, is there a problem?
No.
Oh, you do those commercials?
I do, yeah. I do.
Mother.
Larry is here, Phil.
We're here to talk to you.
Talk about Hebner Elcott.
I got the phone, Larry. Don't do that. Don't ever do that, Larry. Don't put your hands on a phone that I'm using.
Everybody come on the show, they're fighting over the phone.
Well, there's a very good point that Bud's making. We need less fighting over the phone and more communication.
Isn't that nice?
Don't tell
it. I see no reason for sarcasm.
All right, so anyway, you do the Sweet Farm commercial.
Yes, she does.
I do. What's the point?
I just noticed it. Jesus, forget it.
Phil, Hebner Elcott's letters have come to light. And what's interesting about this is that they mirror in much the same way the letters that were written by Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa went through a dark night of the soul, and Hebner Elcott has reflected a similar darkness, a darkness of the spirit, that are reflected in his letters. And Larry, go and do something else.
Larry, you know what? Every time I'm talking to you...
He can't hear you. Mr. Henry is saying, every time he talks... Go ahead.
Every time I'm talking to him, you butt in, so now he's butting in.
Every time he talks to you, I butt in, so now you're butting in.
Yeah, but...
Hold on, Phil, what?
Yep.
I don't want to talk to him, and I don't want to hear what he has to say.
Mr. Henry doesn't want to hear you, hey.
Oh, man.
So,
all right, so Hebner Elcott went through a darkness of the soul. Now,
that's right, Phil, a darkness of the soul.
And it's similar to what Mother Teresa went through.
Yes, similar to what Mother Teresa experienced. Mother Teresa had 50 years of doubt. This only came out once her letters came to light following the beatification of Mother Teresa. Now, in Elcott, The Next Step, we too have a beatification. It's called the beatification, not a beatification. And it is the beatnicking. And this is sounds silly, but it is what the Elcott religion is all about. We try to strip away ego. So there is what is only left is the marginal man or the beatnik.
Well, you know, this sounds like you people make this stuff up on the fly, you know?
Yeah. I got a guy over here.
Hey, just talk with us, if you don't mind, General.
What does this mean, the beatnikification?
I didn't say the beatnikification.
I'm with you, General.
I told you to go sit in the garage. I'm not talking. I said the beatification.
All right, so there's a beatification. So this is an elevation of people in Elcott to a heavyweight status?
Yes, if you want to call that a heavyweight. It's not like a saint, But the beatification is the ultimate in the stripping away of ego. Now, what happened with Huebner Elkott, the darkness that he expressed was juvenile. And it was not recognized as a darkness. It was recognized as a mental illness or a developmental disability because he got involved in a lot of juvenile things.
Well, such as what?
Well, you need to understand that it was juvenile, and I don't want, if you don't mind, I don't want to hear a lot of laughs because we take it very seriously.
All right.
One of the things, in fact, for the most part, the only thing he did for 20 years is he would say, hold on, he would put his finger, hold on, and he'd roll and he'd go into a ball and light his own gas. You know, he'd break when he'd light farts. And
are you kidding me or something?
Did I tell you? I said I'm not kidding. And
this was what you call the darkness of the soul.
It was people thought he was developmentally, they thought he was mentally retarded. They thought that...
Well, how do you know he wasn't? You know? What's everybody looking at me for?
How dare you?
Well, they take that stuff.
How dare you?
They take it seriously.
Wait a minute. How do you know he wasn't?
This is the leader of our religion.
Huebner Elkott is the founder of the religion, General.
I don't give a sweet cheek. The guy was lighting his own farts. You're trying to tell me that was a darkness of the soul?
He told you about the fart.
Go back into the garage, Larry.
Talk about the fart light.
You know, General, I would never, ever rip into a religion that you favor, and yet you sit there with your judgment. I find that to be intolerable.
Well, you got to understand, Gloria, this is a very unusual thing. First of all, the darkness of the soul, and the guy's lighting his own farts. We don't really put that together with what Mother Teresa went through.
Well, it was just as disturbing for a man who would be in the middle of trying to lecture groups of congregationalists and individuals there and suddenly say, hold on, does anybody have a match? Oh, shit.
Well, all right, so here we go. Now, here come the laughs.
Yeah, you guys are serious about this? Yeah, Joe.
No, man, I know they're serious, but it sounds crazy.
No, I'm not joking.
This was the darkness of the soul, and this has come to light when?
This has come to light when? It just came to light because they published it in Letters. And they...
And you put this together with the Letters of Mother Teresa.
Yes, that's exactly correct. The Letters of Mother Teresa also reflect the darkness of the night.
Yeah, she's not lighting her own farts.
I'm sorry?
She wasn't lighting her own farts. Are you trying to... Oh, yeah, right. So that what you're going to tell me what she do? Is that it?
But would you speak the English language in some sort of recognizable form, please?
Talk about light the fart.
Hey, bud, are you asking? What are you asking?
I know what he's asking me. Did Mother Teresa light her own farts? I think that's so disrespectful of a woman who went through a profound depression.
See, Mother Teresa, that's what it sounds like she went through. A very, very serious depression.
Not unlike what Huebner Elkott went through. It was profound, dark, black depression. And
how do you figure that a guy's going through a black depression when he's pulling a match?
General, I'm trying to explain.
He's pulling matches out of his pocket and lighting, he's cutting one. Jesus almighty. You can't know.
See, it's coming across, and I don't, you know, blame the general. I don't blame anybody. It's coming across like it's a load, you know?
It came across the same way. When I talked to Brad Epstein, and I also talked to Dr. Elkott himself, who is a direct descendant of Huebner Elkott, and I said, you're not going to, you know, hold on to your hat, sit down before you fall down, because we've discovered something in the Huebner Elkott correspondence, that he was lighting his own farts. And I remember Dr. Elkott came at me as if he wanted to strangle me.
You got to talk about the farts?
Hey, Larry.
You got to let me talk. Sit down.
And
Dr. Elkott wanted to strangle you.
He came at me with the hands, you know, like almost in a horror movie when the hands are out and they want to strangle you. And I remember he was coming. He was silhouetted. There was a light behind him. And I thought, I remember going, like that. But thank God, you know, then he sat down, and I said, you wanted to strangle me. He said, no, I was just going for that glass of milk behind you, and lo and behold, there was a glass of milk. but I didn't believe it in the nun.
All right, Gloria Grover is our guest on the Phil Henry Show. There is a series of letters published by Elcott, The Next Step. They've made this available to all of their initiates.
The public can read these letters. The letters of Heavener Elcott, The Long Night, My Long Dark Night, when in the middle of some of the most profound moments, he'd lay on his back, roll into a ball, pull his knees behind his ears, fumble for matches.
All right.
Phil, this, who knows why things happen the way they happen?
Well, you know, I don't believe it. I think it's a ridiculous attempt by you, Gloria, or members of your religion or your hierarchy to gain some little moment of humor here on Phil's little podcast.
Well, if you don't believe me, then you can read the letters.
Oh, I can read the letters. Like someone didn't just dummy those up the other day.
These are Let me get
it. Mother has these letters. I've seen them. I can go ahead and vouch. The thing that I am...
What do you say? What do you mean you're vouching?
I can vouch for their authenticity. The letters are authentic. And
well, how do you know?
Because they're obviously authentic, General. The paper is very dry and brown, and I don't recognize the typewriting at all.
What do you mean typewriting? When were these written?
No, I'm going to do it. They were written.
I'll do it. They were written, Phil, because I've got my ear pressed against the phone on the other side. They were written right after the very first Underwoods came out, just before Heavener Elcott passed on in the 1890s. He passed on in 1897.
Oh, all right. Okay.
You dumb?
Am I dumb?
And it's authentic. The paper's brown, and it's just old-looking.
Well, that doesn't mean that it's authentic because the paper's brown and old-looking. You've got to have some kind of
What do you want me to do, carbon date it? I do that, you have to set fire to it. Oh, there's a bright one. Let's burn them. Yeah.
Well, you can't burn the letters up to find out how old they are.
No, you get... Look, there's other ways of figuring this stuff out. And I will tell you...
Phil, I'm here to tell you it's authentic. The fact that Heavener Elcott would light his own farts and that would be his long, dark night of the soul is totally in keeping with the jackass...
You want to call it jackass?
The whole religion's a jackass. It's an experiment in jackass.
All right, Larry has done nothing but disrespect me all of the time since I got into Elcott The Next Step. And now you would do this.
Just because Mother Teresa had a long, dark night of the soul... Come up.
Yeah, Mother Teresa had serious depression. Heavener Elcott's lighting his own farts, and you're calling that a long, dark night of the soul. I would find that almost comic. And
like we said, we don't know whether those letters are authentic or not.
Well, I can tell you we will. They are authentic. As Larry just said, the only thing that he agrees with...
I would say they are authentic.
All right, well, good luck with that. And the publishing of these means what?
Well, I think the publishing of them would probably draw more people to Elcott The Next Step if it wasn't for the fact that what they are saying is the man that founded our religion and is the author of the basic tenets of our religion was cutting fire, you know, setting fire to his own gag. He's cutting farts and lighting them. So
it hurts. It hurts that the recruitment process, you see.
All right, Gloria Grover, Larry Grover, thank you, and the best of luck with what transpires next.
Well, you want us to stay until you want us to call you back and...
No, you don't need to call us back.
Why not?
What? Well, what are you going to tell us? You know, okay, here is the latest on Heavener Elcott lighting his own farts. It is a ridiculous...
Yeah, it's a stupid idea.
Well, we're going to authentic... You know, all of you people have...
Yeah, Mother's... But she's giving me the phone finally. She's...
Larry, we're not buying it, and we think that this is some kind of a scam to try to get us to, you know, have Dr. Elcott on our, you know, maybe we'll buy more time with the church or the church's...
Look, Dr. Elcott's already got the show there, okay?
But we're paying him, though.
Yeah, yes, well, you should.
You shouldn't pay him.
Well, I'm not going to be paying him much longer with this Heavener Elcott lit his own farts in his long, dark night of the soul.
Hang up on the asshole.
What did she? What did she call me?
She called you an asshole.
Let me talk to her.
I'm not talking. Fuck you.
Yeah, she just used the F.
We'll see you later.
All right, Phil. I hope this doesn't keep me from being on your.
be right back.
Why, Henry's pissed. The world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Right back.
This is Margaret Gray for the Margaret Gray Songbook, something that you should have. Every home should have the Margaret Gray Songbook. Songs like The Wayward Wind is a restless wind, and the restless wind was born to wander. And the Wayward Wind, songs like that, songs like Route 66. If you ever plan on going west, take the highway, that's the byway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. Yes.
Jesus, that's horrible.
How dare you butt into my commercial?
That's so... You flatted on that.
I flatted on it, huh?
Yeah, go along with other ears, you're flat.
Come here for a minute.
Please don't do... Ah, shit!
Yes, the Margaret Gray songbook. Songs such as... I wonder what the king is doing tonight. What merriment is the king pursuing tonight? And wonder what the king done doing tonight. You know how it goes.
And other great songs such as... Yeah, baby, yeah. Yeah.
There's no such song as yeah, baby, yeah.
Well, I just wrote it.
Get the Margaret Gray songbook now. Available at...
Hoopner's Music and Tapes. Hoopner's Books, Music, and Tapes. Excuse me. No, Hoopner's Books, Music, Tapes, and Decorations. Party Decorations. That's it. Hoopner's Books, Music, Party, well...
I want to get a baby.
I'm sorry I punched you in the nose, bud.
Yeah. J.B. Loudermilk running for U.S. Congress out of District 64. Do we need all of these individuals hanging at our gas stations and near our drugstores and looking for jobs? And who are they? Yes, I know they're our kids and they're actually waiting for a bus, but they look like immigrants. They look like day laborers. They're dark, swarthy, unclean, and weird looking. Then I realized that one of them's my son. We've got to get rid of these people. They've got to grow up and get out of our houses so we can get back to the business of playing tennis, having cocktails, and being retired. Vote for me, J.B. Loudermilk, United States Congress, and we'll see what we can do about all these slobs. Paid for by J.D. I'm laughing.
Ow.
Paid for by J.D. Actually, we haven't paid for it yet, so I shouldn't say that it's paid for, but if it was paid for, it'd be by J.D. Loudermilk.
What the hell is this, some of that Satan rock, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's a band called,
Slow down, son, slow down.
It's Korn called Insane.
Now, what's the band's name?
The band's called Korn.
Korn, as in the corn on the cob?
Well, not really.
It's Korn. They're from a band from, I think they're from Bakersfield.
They're not from Bakersfield, are they really?
Well, why is that?
Well, they come from Bakersfield, which is in Kern County. And Colonel, you know, don't they have a lot of corn up there?
A lot of corn ball, I'll tell you that.
a lot of country western music.
Yeah, country. Well, I'm from Fresno, so Bakersfield is well known as the corn kernel.
Bakersfield's basically known as the kernel of corn in the.
Oh, you are filthy. You know that.
But get back.
Come on.
Yes.
The kernel of corn, what, in the diaper of country music?
Well, there's a good description.
Why is everybody all of a sudden talking like they've taken 60,000 volts through the brain? All right, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You know, you've been off a little bit, Phil, and I hope that you get your... You got to get your swerve back.
Yeah, you need to get your swerve back on, Phil.
What do you mean I've been off?
We needed to tell you. Just not quite, you know, we're the voices that you do. Surrounding yourself as you do.
Yeah, but sir, we the voices of them. You got to give us better stuff to say.
Yeah, that right there, what Robert said. You got to give us better stuff to say.
Well, isn't that just too bad that you don't have better stuff to say? I'm so very sorry about that.
Phil, we are looking out for you, your well-being, your well...
You say well-butrin.
Your well-butrin, you know. And see, that was bad.
Yeah, that wasn't very good, Mr. Henry.
Hey, man, I'm doing the best I can with what I got. I'm doing... Is Trump still talking, for God's sake?
He came on about an hour and 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, Donald Trump was on TV here when we went on the air, and he's still...
Well, don't watch it. Watch it. There's an awful lot of people that admire that man.
I know that. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying he's been on for a long time. That's all. All right, folks. He's going on about Hillary Clinton now. So it's good. This is a double... This is a two-fisted thing here with Donald Trump. He just got back from Mexico. And he's talking about the immigration thing, and now he's slamming Hillary Clinton. So, world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. So, my understanding here is they've got a brand new president at McDonald's. Now, that wouldn't be such big news.
Well, it is. It's big news without her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't be such big news with us were it not for the fact that Jeff Dowder is going to jump on the line with us. We also, do we have Rudy Canosa?
Yeah, it's going to come on about Knopfler tonic.
That's kind of interesting about Mark Knopfler. who is the he's a guitar player with Dire Straits. His son, Jason Knopfler, or Joe, not some name like that. He come up with a tonic.
He came up with an alcoholic tonic.
Now, who is this Knopfler? What's the guy's name?
Mark Knopfler.
Mark Knopfler is a guitar player with a band.
I'm sorry, I've got this. Mark, well, you go ahead and do it.
See what I mean? You're not giving us very good things to say.
And the timing's all blown. It's just blown, man. You couldn't blow anything better than the way you blow timing. Sorry.
Mark Knopfler is a guitar player with Dire Straits. And what the hell is this? A Stolen Life. These people are wearing T-shirts. What is this?
Oh, my God. Don't, Trump. Don't do it. Are these people that were killed by immigrants? Angel moms are on stage. And this is everything that the Democrats and Hillary Clinton does, Donald Trump copies and then turns it around, doesn't he?
Yeah, this is the tactic of a guy like Trump.
All right, just calm down, okay? I thought you were a fan of his.
I am. But even I can recognize the guy's flipped his lid.
All right, so anyway, flipped his lid.
Well, he's doing all the stuff what Hillary Clinton does, and now he's...
I don't want to talk about it. We keep this show free of politics. It'll be the one show, the one podcast in all of this unseemly darkness of life that is not doing any politics, okay?
Well,
okay?
Yeah, it's all right.
All right.
Now, I know you're voting for Donald Trump, General, and Margaret, I know you're a Hillary Clinton fan, and that's as far as things are going to go around here. All right, so we do have Rudy coming on a little bit later on. We do have with us Jeff Dowder, who's in Temple City, California, here tonight to talk with us about this new move at McDonald's. Jeff, how you doing?
Real good, Mr. Henry. And yeah, McDonald's has announced the retirement of a very significant man, Mike Andrews, who retires as president of McDonald's USA after a pretty successful run as the president of McDonald's USA. You know, in the 18 months that he was at the forefront of McDonald's, they had a turnaround that was really amazing, and it was led, and I think we all know, you know, Dickman, do you know?
Yeah, all-day breakfast.
All-day breakfast. That was...
Are we going to be doing this breakfast thing?
Well, you're the one that puts that in our heads.
You stuck that in my head. There's no way. Look, there's a guy running across the street with his pants coming down.
What?
Right now, I'm sitting in a phone booth. There's a guy running across the street with his pants coming down. Hey! Dude's pants are dropping down.
Where are you?
I'm right now at a phone booth at the pool hall, at the Temple City pool hall. But, see that guy running across the street? Yeah. Hey! There's a guy running across the street with his pants down, his underwear down, right around ankles.
Are you kidding me or something?
Where are you?
I'm at Temple City Pool Hall here on Live Oak. Yeah.
You're at the pool hall.
How many times am I going to say it?
The kid said he's at the pool hall.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so what are you doing? You shooting a game of stick?
Yeah, I'm using the phone here, too.
Why don't you have a cell phone?
Because I don't have my cell phone with me. God, man, what is this anyway? 20 questions or something?
I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm sorry. All right. So, we're talking here.
The guy ran across the street with no pants on.
Well, I thought we were talking about something else.
Yes, we were, but now I forget.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about McDonald's. What do you want me to talk about, Mr. Henry? The guy with no pants or McDonald's?
Talk about the thing you wanted to come on and talk about.
Well,
there's McDonald's.
Oh, yeah. Okay. McDonald's. Yeah. Mike Anders. Hold on for just a minute. Yeah, he's flagging a bus down now, Mr. Henry.
Well, somebody ought to call a cop because the guy's obviously nuts.
Hey, the guy's nuts. I don't know how to take those. Hey, pull your pants up. That's Cheeto. That's the guy that manages the pool hall. Pull your pants up. Hey, dude, your pants are off. Your pants are down around your ankle. Yeah, now he noticed. Now he's doing it. Not okay.
What are you talking about, man?
He's pulling his pants up now.
So he didn't know his pants were down.
No, apparently not, because now he's doing it. He's all embarrassed. Anyway.
What is going on with this world that we live in? I mean, more goofball stuff. I can't make out head nor tail of what's happening. I don't know if half of the stuff is horse dung or what's going on.
You know, now I'm beginning to think that Heaver Elcott was lighting his own farts.
What's that about Elcott like the fart? You putting me on.
Yeah, there's a hook.
Come on, let's just move on. Move on. Let's forward momentum here, not backward, forward. All right, Jeff, tell me all about this gentleman from McDonald's.
Well, I mean, I think it can be argued that Mike Andres was the guy that really turned it around for McDonald's. when he introduced the all-day breakfast, you remember I was on a show, Mr. Henry, when that was introduced, and I was on your show introducing it. And I gotta tell you something right now. I knew it would be big. I wasn't sure how big, but I knew it was going to be big.
Now, how long have they had the all-day breakfast?
They've had all-day breakfast now for...
Would you please say the word breakfast, please, in the name of God?
I'll try, but Mr. Henry is...
Just say breakfast.
All right.
Breakfast.
Breakfast.
I'm not doing that to you, man.
No, not much.
Breakfast. The all-day...
Let me do it. Here's the story. Mike it.
I get to do it because I get to do it. The all-day breakfast was introduced...
There you go, son.
All-day breakfast was introduced...
I got to get up and take a walk.
All right.
Is he leaving?
He's taking a walk.
General, you're out there. Would you get me a Yoo-Hoo?
All right.
A Yoo-Hoo?
Do you guys have cold Yoo-Hoos? Because, man... I would love to have that.
No, come over here, man, because Mr. Henry keeps the refrigerator stocked with cold Yoo-Hoo.
Man, I love me a Yoo-Hoo. Ain't too many things in this world that don't set me free like the ice-cold Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah, get a lot of them.
All right, so now we got Yoo-Hoo. So would you like to continue with the story here about Mr. Andres?
Yeah, Mike Andres is really the guy that turned it around. When he introduced 24-hour breakfast, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry.
Just go ahead.
24-hour breakfast, that was the thing that turned it around for McDonald's, I think. That and just the family-friendly nature of McDonald's. And the food at McDonald's, I believe, is underrated. And I think that it's, one of the most wonderful, I think it's one of the most wonderful aspects to McDonald's.
I've got to say something. That guy, Trump, would you turn the TV off?
No, turn it off.
He is, the way this man manipulates people's emotions, he's like the worst psychopath.
Turn the TV off, bud.
Stop.
What's going on anyway, Mr. Henry?
Oh, she's all pissed off about Trump pulling some kind of, Trump's always pulling something.
Yeah, well, I got a lot of opinion about Trump.
I want to hear about the all-day breakfast.
What?
At McDonald's, man.
Oh, yeah, anyway, Mr. Andres is retiring, and they're going to move in a new guy. Some guy, I don't know his name, Bill Stadakowski or so, no, Chris Kamsininski. And Mr. Andres is a longtime executive with the Oak Brook, Illinois-based McDonald's, but he left to run Logan's Roadhouse from 2012 through 2014. Then he returned to the company to run the U.S. end of McDonald's. The change represents only the latest in executive shakeup that effectively started with Easterbrook's ascension to the CEO job in March. It's very interesting to note that McDonald's one time was just a burger stand, and now it's got all these executives and everything like that.
Well, it's a successful company.
Yeah, I know, but it just blows me away, man. Mr. Henry, didn't you say that you remember when McDonald's was an outdoor burger stand?
Oh, that it used to be.
No, I mean Mr. Henry. I want to ask him.
What is going on around here?
Why be rude?
Because Mr. Gray's always butting in. I just was asking you.
I'm going to answer anyway and get everybody back on track around here. Yes, it was an outdoor burger stand. Phil?
Wow.
It was an outdoor burger stand at one time. You walked up to the burger stand. You walked up to McDonald's counter, and you were outdoors. And it was just the Golden Arches. I still remember it as being an outdoor place. Kind of like, I don't know if we have any outdoor places left anymore, except for the local places.
Well, the local place, like the spot up in Carpinteria or Chef Burger there in Thousand Oaks, something like that.
Yeah, those are some good places. So McDonald's was like that?
Yeah, McDonald's is just like that. And I remember when they still had the sign that said over 3 million sold, then it was like over 3 billion. So it's gotten to be a very, very big company.
Well, one of the reasons is for Mr. Andres, who introduced the all-day breakfast. And this is Jeff Dowder reporting from... I'm at Temple City Pool where that guy had his pants pulled up and then he pulled them down again. I think he's nuts.
Gotta call the cops.
Yeah, they better get a cop over here. Yeah. They're gonna get a cop over here because he had his pants pulled up, got on the bus, pulled them down, and threw him off the bus. Because I just saw a guy get thrown off the bus with his pants off. Jeff Dowder reporting with the...
All right, Jeff, thanks very much. We'll be right back to world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com on Nut House.
Jesus!
Don't forget that on Friday night, that's tomorrow night, we're going to be at the Hollywood Improv in Hollywood, California, the Hollywood Improv Lab. on stage for another edition of Phil Hendry and Friends. I'll have with me Andy Hendrickson, Matt Kirshen, Zainab Johnson, and Andrew Slater. And as I said, we'll be there at 8 o'clock, and we always have a good time. Phil Hendry and Friends is always jam-packed with oodles and oodles of fun, and I emcee the show. And, you know, come on into the lab, man. It's a nice, intimate setting. There's a bar right there, so that always helps. And, you know, it's always a fun time. First Friday in every month, we have Phil Hendry and Friends there at the Hollywood Improv Lab. So come on over, join us, 8 o'clock. And you can get tickets if you follow the link either at our Facebook fan page. That's Phil Hendry Fans, P-H-A-N-S, over at Facebook.com. Also, you can follow a link you can find at our Twitter feed, which is twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. And there is a link there at twitter.com/Phil Hendry Friends. Phil Hendry and Friends. What did I say? Facebook?
You said twitter.com/RealPhilHendry.
That's right. Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. Twitter.com.
Now let me do it. Twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. Twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. Twitter.com/Phil.
That's the two that you need to remember. Thank you.
Oh, I like this.
Interesting song here. Who is this, man?
Killswitch Engage.
Killswitch Engage, great band. All right, so we wanted to get Rudy Canozo on from Ted's of Beverly Hills, where Rudy is holding forth tonight, because we saw an interesting story. It's the story of a famous rock and roll guitar player, Mark Knopfler, and his son, a young man by the name of Joseph Knopfler, and Joseph has introduced a tonic. It's an alcoholic tonic. It's a mixture of sherry and... what is it? Sherry and tonic water, right, Rudy?
Well, yes. This is called Petrino, a blend of sherry and tonic water that's being distributed right now in London by this young man, Joseph Knopfler. This is what is called a new premium alcoholic tonic. And this blend of sherry and tonic, according to the Petrino website, says the time is right for sherry to enjoy a resurgence. So I think this is an attempt to bring back the sherry.
Now, sherry is something that my family enjoyed. My mother enjoyed sherry. And yes, I too, on occasion, I love to have a glass of sherry. What are you looking at, Bud?
Bud, I told you, don't look at Margaret and make those faces.
He looks over and he goes,
I don't know. What do you mean, sherry?
It's a drink, you lummox.
Come on, just take it easy, will you?
It's sherry is a kind of wine, but it is sweeter and it's more refined. You drink it in a small sherry glass. Generally, when you drink it, you're very delicate with your fingers. You go, you know, the pinky's up in the air, all of that.
I don't know that is the way that you do.
Well, that's how I'm describing it. I think that's the best way to describe it. When you drink sherry, you delicately lift it up with the thumb and the middle finger, which you would usually... don't say it. And you have the pinky up in the air, and you go, you know, and you...
What are you talking about, Margaret?
The way you drink sherry.
Well, the way you drink sherry,
and... Just hold on. And you put your lips on the glass like this. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Well, you're talking about the style.
Yes, the style of drinking sherry.
Wait. Who says you're supposed to go, with the pinky finger?
I do, all right? I could give you a whole lot of reasons, Phil, but I'm really not in the mood tonight. My mother drank it that way, and that's how I... What are you looking at, Bud? If he looks at me...
Come on, wait. Target. You're doing that with your nose.
Mind, I'm sweating in this filth... I'm sweating in this sweat box of a studio.
Sorry, but can we get some air going in here, Bud?
No, we don't have any air conditioning, but I turn a fan on and everything.
Turn the fan on, then.
May I continue?
Yeah, go ahead.
So this is called Pedrino's, and Pedrino is a... marvelous kind of a drink.
Oh, hold on for a minute. Now, can you hear that fan?
No.
I can hear it, yes.
We got to turn it off.
So I'm going to sweat like an animal. Is that what you're telling me?
Got to turn it off, but there's not that much time left in the show. Go ahead there, Rudy.
All right, so Pedrino is this tonic water, and it is sherry. And Margaret's right. The sherry at one time was a very popular drink. We're trying to bring it back here at Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I was given the marching orders by Ted last week. I said to him, I said, do you know who Mark Knopfler is? And here's Ted. As a matter of fact, Ted, you got a minute?
Yeah.
I'm talking to Phil about Pedrino.
Oh, it's great stuff, yeah.
Now, you told me about Mark Knopfler. Who's the guitar player?
Yeah, Mark Knopfler is the guitar player for Dire Straits, Phil, as you know.
Yeah.
You remember that song, The Sultans of Swing? Do-do-do-do-do. Remember that song? And then they also did the song, they did the song Money for Nothing. Well, that guy, his son, has developed this Fedrino. And I said, I think the time's right at Ted's Beverly Hills to develop what I'd like to call, if I could, the Fedrino. And that would be...
Well, you're taking the guy's...
Whoa, sunshine. This is my restaurant. Okay?
What are you getting all tense about? What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm in a bad mood. Let me.
He's uptight about something. I don't know what. I think his wife found the dirty magazines, you know?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So...
What dirty magazines?
Oh, you don't know about it.
Yeah, you know, Ted keeps a stack of... He's got a stack of swank magazines in the garage. This is a guy, he's a throwback, you know? I've never known a guy... Most guys now look at all their porn online, you know?
Well, that's where all the dirty sites are.
That's right. But Ted's a throwback. He's got a stack of these dirty, filthy old, you know, this transsexual kind of stuff. That's what gets him off. So,
what are you talking about?
Nothing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's got a stack of swank magazine. Well, anyway, his wife, she found swank and what was that other one?
High Society.
Yeah, High Society. What are you laughing at, man?
What are you guys doing anyway?
Nothing, Ted. We're talking about the Fedrino.
Oh, yeah. The Tedrino. Think of that.
Hey, Ted, I want to ask you something.
What?
I want to ask you, how do you get away with calling it Tedrino when...
I told you, it's my joint, my name, my rules, okay?
So he's in a bad mood because his old lady found the swanks in the High Society and a lot of that. The foldouts are real graphic, you know.
You know, this guy, Bell, is a successful man. I think he's under too much pressure.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. But, yeah, the Fedrino is... Ted said to me, well, let's get the sherry drinkers in here.
You know something? I love sherry. I'd be happy to come in with Frank some night and sit at the bar.
Well, why don't you?
No, I'll sit at the bar. You don't understand, do you? When you have your sherry, you sit at the bar with the thumb and the middle finger... And
what do you mean the middle finger?
With the thumb and middle finger on the stem of the sherry glass, you jackhole. And then and only then do you then lift it to your lips and do this with the lips. You go, I have to make the noise, Phil, because people out there they can't see me.
All right.
You put the glass to your lips and you go, like that. And then you, well, you don't make a sucking sound. What are you?
Hey, come on.
Almost got him that time.
No, you don't make a say. You're not going to sit there and go like that.
well, you ought to talk, Canoza. You're the guy sitting there at the bar going, ah, ah, ah.
Oh, bullsh.
All right, let's watch it, okay?
I don't go, ah. When I see a female customer come by, I will go, good night. Like if Miss Gray, good night, Miss Gray. You know.
Oh, that's guns my engine.
It's not supposed to gun your engine. It's supposed to give you respect. You don't even understand. Rudy has been there how many years, and you still don't understand.
What's wrong with you? Give me the phone. All right, Phil, Rudy's got to go. He looks like he's crying now for some reason.
He's bawling because people don't understand what he means when he goes blah, 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 blah.
Oh, he's still doing that, huh? Hey, Rudy, I told you. Did Rudy tell you? I don't mind if he's... My wife found a stack of swanks and High Societies in the garage because I keep them, you know, as mementos.
Well, can we ask you, why are you in all that transgender stuff?
What an asshole. You didn't tell him that, did you? What do you want from me, man? You just told him yourself.
You didn't tell him that, did you?
You just told him yourself.
Why did you do it, man? What?
I'm only kidding. So,
get out of here, everybody. What a nutcase. Everybody has flipped tonight. Everybody has flipped, man. You remember that song, Everybody's Going to the Moon?
Yeah, about vaguely.
Yes, everyone's gone to the moon.
Yeah. Well, this one is Everybody's Gone Nuts. And this is the Phil Henry Show. So tell me what we're going to do.
Get take off, man.
All right, man. We're going to see you guys. We'll see you tomorrow for our regularly scheduled show. And then Friday night, of course, don't forget Hollywood Improv in the lab, baby. We'll be there along with our very close personal friends, the assembled Andy Hendrickson, Matt Kirshen, Zainab Johnson and Andrew Slater. Phil Henry and Friends, Hollywood Improv Lab, 8 o'clock Friday night.
See you there.
World-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on the Podcast One.
Nice going, Lips.
Shit.
Are you really reading those magazines?